Humans are now hackable animals. The whole idea that humans have this soul or spirit and nobody knows what's happening inside of them and that they have free will, that is over. Today we have the technology to hack humans on a massive scale. Yeah, I mean, everything is being digitalized, everything is being monitored. In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It is often said you should never let a good crisis go to waste because a crisis is an important an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people would never agree to.
By their fruits, you shall know them. By their fruits. By their fruits, you shall know them.
All right, welcome to By Their Fruits, episode 53. And there's a special one, boys. We got a little swap cast going on. We got Bo Kennedy on from the Bump Podcast. How you doing, Bo?
Doing fantastic. Thank you guys for bringing me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, this is gonna be fun. John, how you doing over there?
Doing well, Jeremy. I can't complain with all things considered going on in the world. But no matter what, have faith in the Lord. God's got us, brother. And he is faithful even when we fail and are not. And it's good to be back as always. So,
you know what? That's true, dude. I probably won't feel uncomfortable in this world until like the day I can't sleep without my fan in my face. And I'm like, okay, things are real bad, dude. Like, this ain't gonna be fun.
As Jesus said, the day comes when no man can work. So,
right.
Looks like we might be entering into those times. We'll see. So,
I'll tell you what. That's on track to what we're going to be talking about today, because I'm pretty sure the World Economic Forum eventually doesn't want us to work. So,
yeah, or own anything, right? They just want you to rent and be happy with it.
Yep, they said you will own nothing and be happy. So, they're truly working on that right now as we speak. There's a lot of it's funny because people don't realize how much destruction is going to happen before they can make the order out of that chaos. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be some smooth transition into this false utopia. Like, it's going to be bad. Things are going to really go downhill. It's going to be a lot of struggle. But I guess I'll start off by just giving a little background about the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum was created in 1971 by Klaus Schwab. And I'm not going to get too much into this dude because me and John did a couple different podcasts with William Ramsey, or was that Brian? Either one. You were with me for one of them.
It was McCullough. It was not me.
Okay, so it was with him. Yeah, so with William Ramsey, Deborah gets red-pilled, I think it was, and then some other podcast. But so if you guys want to know more about Klaus Schwab and kind of the background of him, you guys can go listen to those shows. Briefly, he was born in 1938 in Ravensburg, Germany. His father was the owner of this company out of Germany called Escher Wise. Okay, now this company here, they have major ties to the Nazis. They worked closely with the Nazi Party and actually both sides of the war. They were creating things like generators and all these important things that they needed to have to run the machinery and all that stuff. And he was he was considered a Nazi himself, Schwab's dad. Which, like I said, if you guys ever want to get into Klaus Schwab's like background, his ideology is literally from, you know, Nazi ideology. So aside from that, though, he's ended up taking over his dad's business. And a couple big points is that he helped South Africa get the nukes, in Australia. Also, he helped them get nuclear weapons because his company at the time ended up making or owning this machine out of Switzerland, I believe it is, that made the type of petrol. I don't know what it is, petroleum. What is it, John, for nuclear weapons? Like,
you talk about uranium?
Oh, uranium. That's, yeah, uranium. So, anyways, he helped those countries get nuclear bombs. He actually got in trouble for it, but kind of got a slap on the wrist. Anyways, after he got out of the business, he ended up going to Harvard University and becoming, that's where he met
Henry Kissinger.
Henry
and he
Kissinger.
Met John Galbraith at Harvard, right?
Yeah, dude, and him and Henry Kissinger were like buddy buddies. They were super tight, and that's never a good pair right there, boys. Never.
No,
If
no.
your best friend's Henry Kissinger, you're a bad dude, that's for sure. So, anyways, I will give a little background about the World Economic Forum itself here. Again, it was created in 1971 by Klaus Schwab. It's an international non-governmental organization for public-private sectors collaborating in an attempt to build a new world order, or as Klaus Schwab likes to say, a great reset. Before I get into who Klaus Schwab is, and again, probably won't get into that on this episode, but hopefully we can do multiple parts to this because, dude, there's so much information that he's just never going to get it in one show. So maybe we could do a series or something on here for all the different layers. Yeah, so there's many layers and goals of the World Economic Forum. Allow me to read directly from their website as to what they state the World Economic Forum is. So I got a ton of quotes today, guys. So just bear with me because these are important, especially it's coming from the horse's mouth. So this isn't just some hearsay or conspiracy. Like they're straight up telling you what they're all about. So it says the World Economic Forum is chaired by founder Klaus Schwab. It is guided by a board of trustees, exceptional individuals who act as the guardians of its missions and values, and overseers of the forum's work in promoting true global citizenship. So that's pretty much straight out there. Anybody got anything to say so far?
Global citizenship would be a big push, as a kind of way of bringing down borders, which I think will make part of the New World Order. So, that definitely makes sense to me that the World Economic Forum, as Alice Bailey would say, would be the forerunner, or represent the Black Lodge. That would be kind of setting the stage for what is to come later. When you mentioned Henry Kissinger, one last thing, Jeremy, it was Schwab, John Galbraith, who I mentioned earlier, who was an economist, and Henry Kissinger, they met with major think tank founder and member of the RAND Corporation, Herman Kahn, who had actually Stanley Kubrick based Dr. Strangelove off of Herman Kahn. And so it was Herman Kahn and Klaus Schwab and Galbraith went to Europe to get funding for to set up the World Economic Forum from the European elite. And later, Galbraith would actually be the first keynote speaker at the first meeting, like you mentioned, in 1971, when it was founded. Now Herman Kahn is Klaus Schwab's mentor. He is the guy who Klaus Schwab looks to as who taught him and kind of initiated him into kind of like his worldview. And you're going to talk more and give like direct quotes of what Klaus Schwab believes, but that's the guy who Klaus Schwab says he's the guy I learned all of it from, and you don't hear a lot of truthers even mention Herman Kahn's name. In fact, a lot of the truthers that are not Christian, they're not born again, kind of like the theosophical side, they'll actually praise Herman Kahn because he was a big futurist. There's kind of like a war going on with technology, right, of transhumanism, right? And you have like the elites, and we'll talk more about it later. On one side, you can call it the light side. Alice Bailey would say the White Lodge, like Elon Musk, for example, with the Neuralink, which we all know is evil. I'm thinking I even might even be the mark or be the forerunner to the mark. But that's good. When the World Economic Forum brings out transhumanism that bad, Elon Musk does it, it's good. I'm putting good in quotation marks because none of us here thinks it's good. Okay. But that's kind of the what they're setting up, because Satan's going to give you two bad choices, right? So you can have bad transhumanism or you can have light good transhumanism. Okay. And that's definitely what they're setting us up for.
Yeah, absolutely. And that futurist part of the whole equation is super important, man, because the World Economic Forum is very they are very straightforward on what they plan to do with mankind. And the overall agenda, aside from just building a new world order, is transhumanism. They want to merge mankind with machines, and they're going to go to great lengths to do that. And like I said, you'll hear it in their own words, but when you hear these people speak and it sounds eloquent and it sounds good, they make those who are kind of susceptible to like those who aren't awake, you know what I mean? They hear these proposals, man, and they eat it up. They want it. How great would it be to be a transhumanist and you know, get the acquire the technology to put in your own body to make yourself like a god and have godlike capabilities, and to be born blind and get a chip and now you can see again, you know, like all these different things that they're gonna eat it up. It's not for the faint of heart when you get into this stuff, because you'll realize again just how far they're gonna go and want to go to achieve their goal. And if people really focused on that aspect of it, I think there would be rioting. I think that there would be an upheaval. There would be a fight back. But unfortunately, not enough people are paying attention to this type of thing. They're going to be caught off guard. But Bo, do you have anything to say?
Well, you know, I'm kind of learning along with my my listeners with this too, because you know I've heard Klaus Schwab, I've heard that name mentioned for probably, I don't know, close to 10 years now, and this Great Reset that even I remember Hillary Clinton coming out there with that reset button, right? And I think it was just kind of like just testing the waters, you know, to see what's going on. But the more you can expand on what all this is going, what all's going on with this, it probably helped me and helped my listeners too, because my show goes, we don't get a whole lot of opportunity to get into conspiracy other than, you know, I got a handful of flat earth episodes and stuff like that. But I am all about this because there is a definite spiritual element that's going on here.
Yes.
One, just on the surface though, just looking at it, we have, there's over 100 governments working with the World Economic Forum now, right? And there's like a thousand partner companies, so they pretty much got all their feelers already out there. They got a pretty good grasp on this one world government, this new world order kind of thing. But I was looking at, and I don't want to take the show a whole different direction, but they've been working with CERN for a long time too. I saw like 5 or 6 years ago they did this big thing with CERN. What's that about? If you have any information or just, you know, top of the head knowledge on that.
Well, just by the surface, because I haven't really dug too deep on why they have a relationship with CERN, but I do know that most major companies and you know private and public sectors of you know like I said, there's layers. So there's like scientific, there's technology, there's media, you know, all these different sects and layers that kind of make up society. The heads of each one of those layers work with the World Economic Forum. So
Okay.
what they are, yeah. So what they're actually trying to do with them, we don't know, but or I don't know. But we can just look at CERN themselves, and you know they're claiming to open portals. They also have their, you know, they have their whole facility built on top of Apollo's temple. Like you know that there is, and they have Sheba, the goddess of destruction, you know, posted up outside their facility too. You know that there's a spiritual element to that side of things too. I mean, not
Right.
only that, but I personally think that CERN is going to try to open up the abyss at some point.
Yeah,
You know?
I could see that, man. And
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
I was looking through, you were talking about the World Economic Forum, and they put a theme on each year. And I think that's kind of creepy in it in itself. Like last year, 2023, was the cooperation in a fragmented world. You know, so that so they're already trying to tell you that this world, you know, it's broken up, it's layered, you know, and then this year it says that it's climate and nature. A systemic response is needed. And we see how they kicked off this year with that weird ceremony. But yeah, I don't want to interrupt, man. You just keep going and I'll hop in as I can.
Yeah, that's that's a good point, because not only CERN, does CERN, you know, push that you know climate change and you know that whole scandal, like that is probably the biggest catalyst for the World Economic Forum. they push so heavily on climate change and global warming. It's wild, bro. Like that's their catalyst. That is their fear tactic to get everybody to be on board with all their goals and their agendas. Because if mankind doesn't change, the world's going to be destroyed. So that's what they push more than anything as their number one fear factor is climate change. So besides, like I said, all the stuff they want to do with transhumanism, but that goes into it because if mankind can be manipulated and be re-engineered to create less carbon in some way, I don't know, maybe by being like a machine, instead of mostly human, where everything we do creates carbon, breathing, farting, whatever, you know what I mean? We create carbon and they want to eliminate the carbon footprint. So if they can merge us with machines, they can get that. They think in their mind that they can get that carbon footprint close to zero. And in their eyes, they're doing it, well, for what they're telling the public, they're doing it for the world, for Mother Nature. You know what I mean? To save the planet. And that's why they want to go in this super heavy direction to change mankind into machines, basically.
Yeah,
It's wild.
there was a push before to change mankind, right? In the
Oh,
days of
yeah.
Noah. So we're looking at it.
Yeah, as we go along here, Bo, you'll see the connections between what they were doing back in the days of Noah, messing with the DNA of mankind and animals, right? Dude, you're going to hear some quotes where that's exactly what they're telling you they're going to do here with the World Economic Forum.
Interesting.
It's like a complete side by side to the days of Noah, dude. It's
Wow.
crazy. Yeah. So I'll keep going here. So the mission is what Klaus Schwab calls the Great Reset. Okay. Now, within the Great Reset, it entails what is called the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And the Fourth Industrial Revolution, according to the website, is as follows. The Third Industrial Revolution used electronics and information technology to automate production. Now, a Fourth Industrial Revolution is building on the third. And it goes on to say the digital revolution that has been occurring since the middle of the last century. It is characterized by a fusion of technologies that is blurring the lines between physical, digital, and biological spheres. They want to merge man and machines and interconnect us all to a global Internet of Things. And probably won't be able to get into that in this episode, but the Internet of Things is again one of the layers to the World Economic Forum, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, and the Great Reset. So it's another major part. I don't know if we'll get there, but we'll try. Before I get into the Internet of Things, I'd like to just quote from do a couple more quotes because again, their quotes, it is all from their website and Klaus Schwab's book called COVID-19 and the Great Reset. And it's telling, they pretty much tell you everything that you need to know, like just point blank. So all right, so if anybody doesn't know though, real quickly, if you don't know what the industrial revolutions are, I have a brief breakdown of the first, second, third, and fourth. Okay, just so people understand like what the fourth what the industrial revolution itself is. So the first one started in 1784 with steam, water, mechanical production equipment. The second industrial revolution started in like 1870. It's division of labor, electricity, mass production. And then the third, I guess, technically started in 1969 with electronics, IT, and automated production. And then on the website, it says that the fourth one, they put a question mark on the date to this, but they said, as like a brief breakdown, that it's the cyber physical systems, just cyber physical systems. Like if you just sit upon, like think about that for a minute, that's crazy.
That is. Yeah.
Cyber physical systems. So Klaus Schwab states, he says the possibilities of billions of people connected by mobile devices with unprecedented processing power, storage capacity, and access to knowledge are unlimited. And the possibilities will be multiplied by emerging technology breakthroughs in the fields such as artificial intelligence, robotics, the Internet of Things, autonomous vehicles, 3D printing, nanotechnology, biotechnology, material science, energy storage, and quantum computing. He goes on to say that already AI is all around us. Impressive progress in IT or AI, sorry, has been made in recent years, driven by exponential increase in computing power and by the availability of vast amounts of data, from software used to discover new drugs to algorithms used to predict our cultural interests. Digital fabrication technologies, meanwhile, are interacting with the biological world on a daily basis. Engineers, designers, and architects are combining computational design, additive manufacturing, material engineering, and synthetic biology to pioneer a symbiosis between microorganisms and our bodies. Again, that's crazy. So then he says the products we consume and even the buildings we inhabit will be connected. Like, yeah, it's deep, huh?
Oh yeah, that's too deep.
Yeah.
That one.
It's crazy, dude. And I know this is going to be heavy for some people, especially if they're not, they focus more on the paranormal or,
But
or
this is
whatever.
good though. This is good.
Yes, it's good to know.
People need to have their eyes open. People need to be awake and aware. I've been a
Right.
truther since like 2008. I was in the Air Force, and they would pull me up in the shop chief's office, and we would sit up there and we would just dish on, what really happened here, what really happened there, and false flags and all this stuff, man. And I've been all in ever since. But I never really went down this economic forum route because I kind of went through like a black pill moment. You know what I mean? I was like, I had to separate myself from that part of reality for a little while, but I still had to keep my ear to the ground, So this does me a world of good to hear all this, this side of it to help me keep me up to snuff. But I think all audiences need to hear it, and people are more, we're in a better position to accept this stuff now because of
Right.
this last 3 or 4 years. People have
It's so
seen
open.
just how fast and how far things can go.
Right. It's funny because I've never heard of the world. I've been a truther for a long time, over a decade, and I never heard of the World Economic Forum or the name of Klaus Schwab until COVID-19. Until that happened, it's almost like he was a ghost in my paradigm. You know what I mean? It's weird. But then when I started hearing about him and connecting these dots and getting into all the research, I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, like everybody needs to focus on this dude in this organization because they are like the mechanical hand to coming biblical prophecy, in my opinion.
Well, you take this I don't believe in coincidence, but you take the term Great Reset, right? Reset. Set was an ancient serpent god, right?
Yes. Yep.
So it is just to bring back Set. It's just, I don't know, man. There's so many things, and I know we don't need to do wordplay on here to make a point, because their website sounds like they're telling you the point.
Yeah, you guys should dig around on their website because it's unbelievable how open they are about everything. And you're right, man. I've heard that before. Like the whole Great Reset thing. I think it was like Ra and Set,
Yeah, man.
and the connection between those two gods and like what they represent and what they're about, and trying to bring that back to our time. And it's deep, man. Like it's deep because when you get into like who Set is, who Ra is, what they represented, like I said, like the practices of rituals surrounding them, what they're the gods of, it connects directly into their plan, just in a more modern sense, I think. All right, so I'm gonna get into this dude. His name is Yuval Noah Harari. Just a little background on this guy. John, do you know about him?
Yes, but go ahead, you go first so that and I'll discuss more about him. But yes, I do.
Sure. Okay, so Yuval Noah Harari is the advisor to Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum. This is like Klaus Schwab's right-hand man. Okay, he's a very open homosexual. He is a
He's a
he's a he's
humanist.
humanist. Thank you. Sorry, I did
He
brain
believes in
fog.
human potential, that humans
Yes, a
can
human.
solve the issues of our day, which the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab, you would say, would be Malthusian, in that they're kind of like, we have to curtail the population, we have to do that to fight against climate change, where Yuval Noah Harari is kind of in the middle, and that he kind of puts forth an anti-Malthusian to some degree structure that kind of like very similar to Elon Musk, that human beings through human potential can solve all the problems of society.
Yeah, he kind of flip-flops on what he says too. He's
He
one of those
goes
guys
back
that
and
will be like,
forth.
he'll
He
warn
goes back
you
and forth.
like this is dangerous, and then he'll be like, this is what we need to do on the same subject. So he does go back and forth. He flip-flops, but this guy, he's a world-renowned historian, okay? But he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. He pushes evolution hardcore. And so, with that whole evolution aspect, he believes that he can help mankind evolve into, well, he states into gods. Okay, he
Which is
states that.
anti-Malthusian, it's pushing of human potential.
Right. And it gets deep. So I'm gonna share some quotes from him because to me, this guy's more devious than Klaus Schwab is. Not gonna lie, like he's something else, man. And he's got a lot of influence, and he's one of those guys that are just so open about the plans that he's not even ashamed at all to say what they're gonna do, when they're gonna do it, you know? So let me grab a quote from a couple quotes from him real quick. One of them's very long, but dude, it'll blow your mind. So okay, so he writes, humans are on the verge of merging with machines. Humans and machines might merge so completely that humans will not be able to survive at all if they are disconnected from the network. Humans are now hackable animals. The whole idea that humans have this soul or spirit and nobody knows what's happening inside of them and that they have free will, that is over. Today we have the technology to hack humans on a massive scale. Yeah, I mean, everything is being digitalized, everything is being monitored. In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It is often said you should never let a good crisis go to waste because a crisis is an important an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people would never agree to. But in a crisis, you see that we have no chance, so let's do it. So, yeah, and then he continues and says,
He said this out loud, like
yeah, dude, I think it was on CNN, was the CNN aired it. Okay, I don't know if that was where the first one, yeah, dude, he's so open about it. It's crazy. And nobody's like freaking out. Like, I don't mean to like, you know, spirit of fear. I just mean like nobody's shocked at what he's
right.
saying, you know?
Yeah. Nobody slapped a muzzle on this guy yet.
Right. Yeah. See, that's the thing too, is like you hear a lot of times that if somebody talks too much about something, you know, they get swiped, you know, that they get out.
Yeah.
Somebody takes them out. But
Right.
these guys, nobody takes them out. They know that they're at the top of the food chain.
Well, and with these
They.
rituals, man, they have to tell you what they're doing, right?
Yes, that's what I do. That's one of the things that I was going to mention too, is this, most of this stuff seems like revelation of the method, you know, and in their minds, like they have to tell you, because since they did and nobody does anything about it, then they're not the ones responsible for what's going to happen. Continue with some of his crazy quotes real quick. Just, all right. So he goes and says, people could look back 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin, which I think is maybe the most of, which is the most development of the 21st century, which is this ability to hack human beings, to go under the skin, collect biometric data, analyze it, and understand people better than they understand themselves. This, I believe, is the most important event of the 21st century. By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future itself. Because once you hack something, you can usually also re-engineer it. In the coming decades, AI and biotechnology will give us godlike abilities to re-engineer life and create completely new life forms. We are about to enter a new era of inorganic life shaped by intelligent design, our intelligent design.
He wants to be God.
Yep, they want to be God, man. That's what it really all boils down to. All right. So,
What's
yeah,
his
as you guys can
cousin?
see, Yuval Noah Harari.
All right. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking. All right, so now that we got that all layered down, this is all going to be kind of complementing everything that we've heard so far. And this is where I'm going to get into the six categories to this fourth industrial revolution. So these are the six major categories that make up what they want to do. And within these categories, they have like bullet points, okay? And you're going to see these bullet points are basically like they'll be like ethics and identity, okay? But under that is you're going to see these I guess you could say businesses, or I guess these businesses will work. You'll see these businesses and these sectors of businesses that they're going to work with to achieve this goal. Okay, so number one, for example, says fusing technologies, and you guys heard a little bit about this before. And again, you're going to hear some of the same things, like quantum computing, for example, can be in multiple different categories. Okay, so it's just they're gonna repeat it just to let you know that that's what they're gonna use to achieve whatever the category is. So the first one is fusing technologies. These are the lists of technologies that are fusing together to create this transhuman agenda in the Great Reset. Okay, so the first one would be biotech, and this again is under fusing technologies. So they want to fuse biotech, virtual reality, augmented reality, quantum computing, advanced materials like 3D printing, neuroscience, AI, and blockchain. Okay. And again, this isn't just me being like, hey, this is what I figured out. This is on their website. Number two out of the six categories, ethics and identity. So they want to use biotech, behavior science, human, digital identity, values, human enchantment, COVID-19. Why would COVID-19 be under ethics and identity? And why would that be a business?
There you
You
go.
know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
they straight up tell you. It's crazy. But yeah, why would COVID-19 be an industry within these categories? Side note, by the way, Jeffrey Epstein financed a lot of biotech and behavior science
Sure.
institutions. Okay, so keep that in mind. All right, so number three is agile technology governance. They want to fuse 5G, global governance, blockchain, and the Internet of Things. Again, on their website. All right. Number four, inequality, gender parity, taxation, and mental health. They want industries within those three points to fix inequality. They need help, dude. This is all nuts. All right. So number five is business is disrupting. And when I hear that, and when I see that business disruption, I think that when you hear these points, I feel like creating business disruption should be what it's titled. Okay. So under business disruption, they want to work with the industries like the Great Reset, which is considered an industry according to the World Economic Forum, 3D printing, COVID-19, and robotics. All right. And number six, security and conflict, drones, space, AI industries, geopolitics, and neuroscience. Okay. And one thing about the drone part that's interesting is DJI, which is the largest drone manufacturing company in the world, is a partner of the World Economic Forum.
Of course.
And if you didn't know, the tech side of the World Economic Forum agenda is run by Isabel Maxwell, which is the sister of Ghislaine Maxwell, whose father was a Mossad spy, basically, intelligence agent. It's all connected.
Of course.
All right. Yeah, man, it's crazy. So I'm going to get back into Klaus Schwab a little bit because, again, he wrote a book called COVID-19 and the Great Reset. And what's wild is he wrote this back in, I think it dropped July 9th of 2020, literally like 6 months after COVID started. You know how long it takes to write a book?
Yeah, I've been working on one for 5 years.
There you go, dude.
Yeah.
Like, and it entails everything that happened during this time from the beginning to the end. Okay. Like, it's obviously planned. So in his book, he's got some fascinating quotes, that's for sure. All right. So Klaus Schwab wrote a book called COVID-19 and the Great Reset. This was, again, this is all clearly planned well in advance. If you could write a book about it and drop it 3 months into COVID. Nobody ever heard of COVID-19 before COVID actually started. So, you know, that tells a lot. In this book, he talks about COVID-19 and implementing the Great Reset and Fourth Industrial Revolution. Here's one of the quotes from his book. He writes, "In fact, the science is progressing so fast that the limitations are less technical than they are legal, regulatory, and ethical." All right. So he straight up tells you, like, we're already there with the science. We can do that. We have some loopholes, like legality and ethics. You know, John, do you remember the quote that said, maybe it was Henry Kissinger, where he talks about, if it's illegal, we do it immediately. If it's unconstitutional, it takes a little longer.
I don't remember.
I'm pretty
Let me
sure it was
look.
Henry Kissinger. Yeah. I'm going to continue while you look for that. But the list of potential applications is virtually endless, ranging from the ability to modify animals so that they can be raised on a diet that is more economical.
Wow.
Now, when he says that, let's not forget, no, Yuval Noah Harari just said that we were hackable animals.
Right, yeah, we're the animals, yeah.
We are the animals they're talking about. Exactly. Another thing that was just too big to put in my notes is they have a sustainable development diet plan written by the World Economic Forum, okay? And they talk about how they want to basically make meat a commodity and us to eat bugs.
Right.
They have this whole thing about it, okay? And then it's not even
Yeah,
a
it was
joke.
Kissinger.
It was? Yeah, they were
Yes.
best friends. So. But yeah, that's what I think when he writes, you know, ability to modify animals so that they can be on a diet more economical. I think that the animals he's talking about is definitely us.
Yeah. And the diet is crickets and mealworms, like the rest of the
Yeah.
reptilians. Yeah.
Right. And if you're lucky once a year, or if you have a couple $1,000, you can have a piece of steak. You know what I mean? Let's see. So let's continue with some of his quotes. He says, "Synthetic biology is the next step. It will provide us with the ability to customize organisms by rewriting DNA. Setting aside the profound ethical concerns it raises, the advances will not only have a profound and immediate impact on medicine, but also on agriculture and the production of biofuels." Yeah, let's just forget about the ethics part. You know what I mean? Let's just set that aside and think about all the good it can do. You know
Sure.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, wow. And you guys can stop me at any point if you have anything to say, but
Okay, let me ask you this, Jeremy. Do you think that what the World Economic Forum is doing and how most of the alternative media is heavily covering the World Economic Forum now, and Tucker Carlson, who lost his show on Fox News, but is now on X, where he reaches, you know, tens of millions and millions of people now see his show, right? Do you think that the World Economic Forum is being used by the elite and being exposed? Do you think there's like a purpose behind that? You know, you had Trump, you know, they claimed stick it to Klaus Schwab when he visited the World Economic Forum. But, you
yeah,
know,
he did
you
a
could see,
speech at Davos.
yeah, but I've covered that speech. They're very buddy buddy with each other, you
Yes,
know.
yes. And he's considered, even though he's not considered a member on their website, he's considered a World Economic Agenda contributor.
And Ivanka Trump is a young global leader, and she actually
Yes,
had that
he
in.
graduated from the class.
And she had her that on her White House profile that she was one. And then you have Javier Milei going to the World Economic Forum, the Argentinian Trump, right, who's a member of Chabad Lubavitch, the you know, Jewish supremacist cult, right? And he actually went to visit the Rebbe, you know, Rebbe's grave, you know, who they think, you know, many people within Chabad think that, you know, the Rebbe's going to punch through the glass that he's preserved under and be the Messiah. You know, they worship him, you know. So he actually went to visit the gravesite of the Rebbe in New York, in Brooklyn Heights, and the Chabad World Headquarters. And so, you know, he's at the World Economic Forum and he's like, you know, calling out, you know, Klaus Schwab and socialism and communitarianism. You know, he's like calling it out to their faces, right? You know, so Javier Milei has to be our guy, right? And the thing is, you know, I believe that, you know, the harlot mentioned in the book of Revelation could be the current world order, you know, the Masonic, Jesuit, you know, Zionist world order, And so, like, you know, Javier Milei is like calling out like all the issues with that side, kind of like the communist capitalist dialectic, right? You know, where in America, we live in a crony capitalist system, you know, where the wealth and the rich prosper, you know, almost, you know, to no end here on Earth. And a lot is because they serve Satan and they're wicked as well too, as we know from a biblical framework. And so, you know, Javier Milei kind of represents this libertinism as the world's first libertarian president, that, you know, that he's going to save the Argentinian people, and he's going to, you know, help usher in kind of like this, you know, pro-libertarian, pro-libertine, you know, what they call techno-optimism, like the good side of transhumanism. You know, he's kind of like ushering that in. And there's a lot of people in the alternative media, they're like praising him, right? Like he's sticking
Right.
it to Klaus Schwab and Davos and the World Economic Forum. When in reality, you know, he's externalizing the hierarchy, as Alice Bailey said, which he says it starts in 2025, right? And he's showing how wicked the World Economic Forum is. But like what he's suggesting that they replace it with, you could argue is worse. You know, so do you see like the World Economic Forum is kind of being like, as Alice Bailey said, to be like the forerunner, where, you know, it's wicked. We're living through the Great Reset. It's hurting everybody. You know, people are being woken up, but what are they being woken up to? You know, I mean, some by the grace of God through podcasts, you know, like ours, where, you know, they're coming to the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? But Christianity, when it comes to alternative media, is dwindling in numbers compared to what it was even 20 years ago. So, you know, is that by design? You know, you have the Great Reset to the Great Awakening, right? It's a false, you know, Luciferian Great Awakening. They're not, you know, many aren't sadly becoming, you know, awakened, you know, to the truth, which is Jesus. They're coming awakened to how bad things really are. You know, as you know, kind of like, you know, Satan is the prince of the earth, right? You know, and ultimately God is in control, but that's what they're kind of, you know, they're, you know, they're a lot of people are, you know, discussing the World Economic Forum, where a few years ago they wouldn't be talking about the Bilderberg Group or any of these things. If you even mentioned any of this, you would be called a
Right.
fool.
Right.
But now people are talking about it.
Yeah, so like I said, I don't think anybody even heard of the World Economic Forum until COVID-19 even hit.
Exactly.
And one of the things about the World Economic Forum that makes it kind of unique and special is they have 2,000 to 3,000 world business leaders and religious top religious folks and media personnel, every sector of society, okay? Everything that all the layers that make up society in our world. The top leaders of those go to the World Economic Forum every year. Okay. But the thing about the World Economic Forum is you don't have to be a member of just the World Economic Forum. A lot of them are in the Club of Rome. They are in the United Nations. They're a part of other secret societies. And it's like they come together at this place as a conglomerate, right? To be like, hey, guys, we're all on the same page here. Let's do this. We have the availability to change mankind. And it's like you've never seen something like this before, though. You've never seen such a think tank come together, be so widespread and open about what they're trying to do. And all it can make me think of is they're trying to condition everybody. And maybe they're being a little maybe they're moving a little too fast. Like I don't think COVID-19 really worked out the way they wanted it to, but they're trying to move forward with this no matter what. And they're open about their agendas. They're open about, using chaos to establish order. Okay. And this kind of gets me into, and I'm sorry if I didn't answer your question, but this actually gets me into something else. Because Klaus Schwab, as I said in his book, he wrote about using COVID-19 as a catalyst to the Great Reset. Okay. And to implement all these agendas and plans. Well, as you're going to hear in a second here, they are planning on another catastrophe. They're planning on something different that's much worse than COVID. And in my opinion, given the recent movies that dropped and the popularity of them and what they've been kind of like promoting for maybe the last year or so, it might be a cyber attack. It might be a cyber attack that destroys this current world order in order to have that reset. And they're putting all the people in place to make that happen, to establish that, so that they can rise out of the ashes with this new world order. You got to destroy the old before you can have something new, right? And they're not going to come and do it like Hitler did with the gun to the back of your head. That's not how they're going to do it. That didn't work. What they're going to do is so much more subtle and complex. And they have all the people in the right positions to make that happen. So Klaus goes on and says, and I quote, "We want to intrude your thoughts, read your minds, and influence your behavior." He states how this technology would allow them to do brain scans before crossing a border to see how much a security risk you are. Like if you were to go to a different country. It would allow law enforcement and courts to retrieve memories from people's minds to access the likelihood of criminal activity, like the Minority Report. He says, implantable microchips, think about Elon Musk there, implantable memories, physical body monitoring by implantable devices. I'm sure that those implantable devices is not for the sake of your health, but to track your carbon footprint, like I said earlier. I think that's one of their main goals, because we won't get into it tonight, but climate change is like their scare tactic. That is the number one scare tactic that they use to get people on board with this, okay? And having a zero carbon footprint is like very important to them, and you can't really do that unless you're dead or somehow change your whole body structure, you know what I mean? Or limit it to the most you can. But again, you'd have to be monitored in every aspect in order to make sure that person is not producing a certain amount of carbon. Okay. And like, what would happen if you have all these devices in you and you do go cross, you know, you cross that threshold where you had a little too much? Could they just disconnect you from the network? And if they did, would you die? You know, as you will know about Noah Harari stated. So, and I'm not, I just want to let everybody know, I'm not saying they're going to reach every single agenda on, you know, that they have, like it's gonna come to that point. But I am saying they are trying, and they will try.
But to circle back to what I asked you earlier, what if they are the forerunner in that all of this, like they're bringing the technology out front for whoever replaces them, like the famous, you know, Who lyric, you know, new boss, same as the old boss, right? So what if they're, you know, bringing forth this technology to be used, but it won't be used in the manner of what they're saying it's going to be used for? Like it's going to be used for an evil. I would argue only on Christians. It's going to be used by the Antichrist and the beast system, but it's not going to be for, you know, carbon
What they're
footprint like they're
stating.
saying. Like they're like that, because that's through externalization of the hierarchy, right? So if the World Economic Forum represents the Black Lodge, and I'm going to discuss later what replaces it, which is the World Future Society, something that's been around for longer, actually, but very few people actually know what it is. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it reminds me of when they kind of get people to accept technology, right? Or to accept an event. They put forth the worst possible outcome and then people get mad, right? And then they kind of withdraw that and they're like, oh, okay, no, we didn't mean that. But instead, we mean this. You know, one of the prime example would be like for taxes, you know, $500. Or even less, you know, if you send somebody on Venmo or PayPal or whatever, you have to report that, right? So people got really mad about that. So then they're like, okay, we'll make it, you know, 5,000 or 10,000, or we'll draw it back to how it was, but we'll do it later, you know. So are they doing that with the World Economic Forum, is that everybody's becoming initiated and they're pointing? I mean, Klaus Schwab literally looks like Dr. Evil from Austin Powers. Okay.
Albertine.
Yeah. So he literally, you know, is made to make the stereotypical Hollywood villain, right? So the World Economic, you know, the World Economic Forum, I believe, will be destroyed. I believe Klaus Schwab will be put on trial. Okay. So if that happens and the good guys won, right? So that's at least where I see it, is we're living through the Great Reset right now. We're living through it. And eventually the harlot will devour the beast. So that technology and the things they're talking about will be, you know, transferred over into the coming beast system, if that makes sense.
And I see where you're going with that, and that's funny because I think, like, you know, as if you want to use Alice Bailey or Alec Bailey's words, whether it's a Black Lodge, White Lodge, or Masonry with white hats and black hats type of thing. It's like, in general, they both have the same exact angle. They just go about it two different ways. You know? So I think that they have both, and they know this. They already know this. So they have people inside who are black hats or white hats, you know, quote unquote, or from the Black Lodge or White Lodge. And I feel like it's whoever is either elected, accepted, or running the show at the time. Because you know that right now, they always start off when they produce, you know, give you new information or technology or whatever. You know, they always promote it as good. No one's going to take it if they promote it as bad. But when it actually gets accepted is when, like you said, they go, well, actually, this is what it's going to be for. Well, we put a device in your body so that it can release medication at a certain time every single day. You'll never overdose. You don't have to remember to take them. It'll do it automatically. But this chip also is that we could just switch a button and you'll die if you eat too much carb or eat too much meat or something like that. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? They hardly ever present the bad. They just prevent they go and they promote the good so that the populace will take it. But and usually in the end it is bad, especially for mankind, because our hearts are wicked. Like, we could use a lot of this stuff for good. We could, but it doesn't ha it never ends up happening that way. And in the end, it's always ends up becoming bad, essentially. Not every single thing in the world, but you know what I mean.
No, I know you're right. And you know, we again, it could be they're fear mongering for the greatest effect. So when the pendulum swings back to the white hats defeating the, you know, again, it's like right now, the current world order is like the normal caricature of Satan with like the red skin and the hooves and the horns, right? You know, but as the Bible, we know that Satan has the ability to appear as an angel of light, right? Which is what the Great Awakening will represent, which why many people will end up falling for it, and allying themselves with the beast system and the Antichrist and sadly taking the mark, is because, you know, the Antichrist is going to appear to be a savior. You know, he's not the savior. Jesus Christ is the savior, but the
Maybe
Antichrist
a
is
white
going to
hat.
appear, he's going to appear to be a savior. And so it's like, that's, you know, people are going to be like, well, the Great Reset's so horrible. And it is. I mean, we're not even completely through it yet. We don't know how bad it's truly going to get, you know. And, you know, what replaces it, the world is going to be ecstatic about. And I believe that, you know, to take the mark, you know, we're told through conspiracy culture that it's going to be a totalitarian beast system. And I will think it is for those who are born again Christians, right? Those who refuse the Antichrist and refuse to take the mark. But for those who it is not, I believe that they will, you know, get access to like the hidden technologies and the free energy. And whether it's true or not, you know, whether or not it reaches that point, they'll be promised that. They're already promised that if you listen to Alex Jones, you know? And so that's, you know, that's what they're setting up for is you have the bad transhumanism with the World Economic Forum, but with the World Future Society's transhumanism, Elon Musk, for example, oh, that's good. Anybody who has, you know, half a brain should say Musk is not a good dude and the Neuralink isn't good, especially when it killed a majority of the monkeys that it was put in.
Yeah, it's just
I'm just
promoted
saying.
as good.
Yes. And so he comes out and he's going to call it telepathy. You know, he's going to say, oh, well, we can, you know, when you die, we can, you know, insert your consciousness into the cloud and reboot you into another humanoid or android or whatever. And that's how you survive
Like
the
CRISPR is
Terminator
trying to do.
apocalypse, you know? And it's like, this is ridiculous. But again, you know, to go back, I guess to talk about the World Future Society for a moment. It was founded in 1961 by Edward Cornish, Barbara Marx Hubbard, who's a huge futurist. I've written a lot about and talked a lot about her on my Substack. John Klyzak wrote some really good articles about her. I'm not going to really go into her too much here. You know, there were major futurists and elitists that helped form the World Future Society, including someone I've written about from the Finders cult, Marion Petty. You know, Herman Kahn, who I mentioned earlier, was Klaus Schwab's mentor. He was one of the main members of the World Future Society from its earliest inception. And so the World Future Society Bo, did you enjoy watching science fiction as a kid at all growing up? Were you interested in Star Trek or like, any of Stanley Kubrick's movies
I
or
watched a little bit. I was more
just like a
into
horror fan?
I was more of like sword and sorcery than I was science fiction.
Okay. So most of your science fiction writers in the modern era, we're all World Future Society members, and they kind of morph our society, even from a global standpoint, of what the future would look like. Okay, whether it's Ray Bradbury from Fahrenheit 451, who you think he's talking about technology being bad, if you actually read the book and it's kind of open ending, it's like, nah, actually, we could use it in a utopian society once the White Hats take control. Okay, so never forget that part. All right. And so you also have Stanley Kubrick, who was a World Future Society member. Isaac Asimov was a World Future Society member. Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek, was a World Future Society member. Neil deGrasse Tyson is a World Future Society member. Okay, so was Frank Herbert of Dune. So was Starship Troopers. Heinlein, Robert Heinlein. So most of our science fiction. Okay, and most of the way that we look at the world, all right, was put forth by the World Future Society in scientism and secularism, and they're anti-Malthusian. They believe that humanity, through, as Barbara Hubbard say, is conscious evolution, which is very close to Yuval Noah Harari's belief that you mentioned earlier, Jeremy. Okay, and that man could consciously evolve into Homo universalis and see the stars. Okay. And so I believe that the World Future Society will be the Beast Systems version of the World Economic Forum. It'll be positive transhumanism, techno optimism. Okay. You also see with the World Economic Forum, something you mentioned earlier, Bo, with CERN. The only thing that I've noticed that I've been able to see between that is there, CERN, NASA, never a straight answer, and the World Economic Forum are coming together for scientific disclosure. Okay, that's very big. You see, within the World Economic Forum, the World Future Society, and even in alternative media groups and researchers, it's kind of like open disclosure, open source investigations, which I'm not necessarily saying in and of themselves they're bad, but they're kind of put forth to this kind of like transparency, which we know it's false transparency, but they're at least trying to, and they're also trying to, harvest the minds of people to see, well, what can they solve? What can they figure out? Because the our brains, which God gave us, as far as its ability to solve logical problems, is far better than any computer capability can ever be. Okay, like it's almost a miracle just how our brain works.
Right.
Okay, and we still haven't figured it out completely, and we never will. Okay. And so, the World Future Society, they're trying to sell, they're saying, oh, look at the World Economic Forum and their version of transhumanism. That's bad. Like especially when you're talking about pushing like transgenderism and the surgeries, for that, right? That seems to be very pushed by that side of the world order. But then again, the World Future Society side is, yeah, they're saying, they won't mention that. But to talk about augmenting your body with technology and becoming a kind of like
A cyborg.
a cyborg, yes, cyborg. That was the word I was looking for, Bo. Yes. So I mean, what does that lead? If
They're
they're if
both
they're if
saying the same thing.
yeah, if they're
They're literally
libertine,
both.
if they're libertine, then they wouldn't be, like as Tucker Carlson said, why are you so up in arms about gay marriage? We've already came to terms with that as a society. The real issue is them forcing our kids in the transgender movement. It's like, no. Romans 1, like homosexuality is a sin. Okay, so we haven't just left that behind, Tucker. Okay, it's still a problem. Okay, so I mean that's what they're trying to say is they won't come out and tell you that the transgender agenda is a part of their agenda. But it most certainly is. It most certainly is. And it's through augmentation and becoming cyborgs. And they're pushing, I guess one last final thing I'll say is World Future Society as anti-Malthusian, and you'll see it through the writings of Herman Kahn, you'll see it through Elon Musk, is natalism. Okay. They want you to have more babies. And they claim to be anti-abortion. Javier Milei claims to be anti-abortion, okay? But it's not because they love life. It's not because they honor life and it's God that has given us life, okay? It's because they need guinea pigs. That's what
Yeah.
COVID-19 a bit was about. That's what the pandemic was about. It's what Operation Warp Speed with the Annihilation inside of it, the awakening of man. Alice Bailey wrote about it, okay? And Operation Tiberius Kirk, there we have a reference to Star Trek, where Palantir was collecting all this health data of anybody who took the jab or anybody who tested positive for COVID-19. They literally took your past, present, and future health data, all of it. They claimed they anonymized it, but
Yeah.
did they? Okay.
Who owns Palantir?
Peter Thiel.
He's a World Economic Forum member.
Exactly. And so you have them, getting all this data for experiments. They're running a mass experiment through the mRNA and through the viral vector DNA. I don't know for what end, but it was mass experimentalism. They want to keep you alive because we're here about population control, population control, population control, which is Malthusianism. The World Economic Forum is very big on that. But the World Future Society is natalist. They're anti-Malthusian. They want to keep you alive so that they can experiment on you. They want to keep you alive so they can use mRNA. They want to keep you alive so they can put brain chips in you. They want to keep you alive so they can augment their body. They want to see what works so they can live forever.
Right.
Okay? And they need as many people as they can to get as much data as they can. Okay?
Wow.
And see that again, you have everybody harping on World Economic Forum and population control, but literally Elon Musk is telling you that this is what he's doing, and nobody cares. Have babies, not because God commanded us to, but have babies for guinea pigs and have babies because we got to save the world and have babies because we got to go to the moon and to the planets and to the star systems. Okay? It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. That's deep, dude. That's deep. But I guess one of the points that that I see personally is that there's the views of the World Future Society, there's a lot of those mixed in within the World Economic Forum. And that's why I'm saying that both sides are there so that whatever one is a better outcome is the one they'll use. They already have both sides set up. Does that make sense?
Yes, even though I think they're going to go with the World Future Society, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, right.
And I believe it plays in how the Bible says the beast devours the harlot, right? So right now, the World Future Society is, using the World Economic Forum for the technology, for the platform, for all of these things, right?
It's a
It's
big push.
using it to get these things, put into place for them to go, well, they're bad. But when we use it, it's good. Techno-optimism, baby. That's right.
Yeah, it all sounds terrible. Either side sounds absolutely terrible. Like, no, thank you, dude. I'm not signing up for any of this. Like, Klaus Schwab goes and says about, like, I mentioned all the body implants and that you and this and that. And he goes on to say that the reason these implantable devices it is for knowing pre-sickness, auto release of medication, and remote vaccine updates. Remote vaccine updates.
Yep.
Vaccines, if you go into the World Economic Forum, type in vaccines, there's like hundreds of articles and they push vaccines to the max. Like vaccines are one of the biggest things they push. And it's because of all the new technology that they're putting in these new vaccines, the graphene, the mRNA, and all these different things, because they're gonna somehow try to hook it up to the Internet of Things and it's gonna become a part of your little cyborg body. It's wild. It's just wild. But he goes on to say that we do not know yet how it will all unfold. But one thing is clear, the response to it must be integrated and comprehensive, involving all stakeholders of the global polity, from the public and private sectors to academia and into civil society. It will change not only what we do, but also who we are. It will affect our identity and all the issues associated with it, our sense of privacy, our notions of ownership, our consumption patterns, the time we devote to work and leisure, and how we develop our careers and cultivate our skills, how we meet people, and nurture relationships. So they literally want to do whatever they can to monitor all these things. There was a quote that straight up said that they want to be able to change your behavior, and I think I have that here. They want to change your behavior, like on purpose. Like they want to be able to influence everything you do. They want to be able to influence your thoughts and everything, and then they want to know to be able to predict everything about you. That doesn't sound very utopian to me, boys. I'm not gonna lie. I'm like, I don't really know who'd be so out of their mind that they'd be down for all that. I'm gonna go back real quick to how. All right, so I guess I'll talk about Event 201. Do you know what Event 201 was, Bo?
That is Event 201. Isn't that like the world can sustain 200 events? The 201st is the one that could bring cataclysm. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
It was. No, but that sounds interesting. Whatever that is, that sounds interesting. So I'll talk to you about that more, maybe off the air. But Event 201 is happened back in October of 2019.
Yeah.
Okay, and this was the simulation between Johns Hopkins Medical,
Yeah,
Johns
yeah.
Hopkins Medical,
Yeah, the COVID-19 thing, yeah.
and so the Johns Hopkins, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the World Economic Forum. And they simulated the outbreak of a novel coronavirus that started in a poor slum in China before spreading across the world, shutting down the global economy and killing 65 million people before a vaccine is rolled out 18 months later and then basically saves the day. Okay, so that was what Event 201 is. And this happened 3 months before COVID even started. All right. And then 3 months after that, you got Klaus book. But yeah, so I don't think that ended up working out the way they wanted it. And I think some of the things that they're doing right now is they have like a different theme every year, right? But the one of the multiple themes that they brought up was this cyber attack. And this one's interesting. Okay, it has the same exact player as Johns Hopkins, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the World Economic Forum. And the latest one simulation that they did was like only a couple weeks ago. Like in 2024. And I think the last one was in 2020 or so. But this simulation is called Cyber Polygon. And it took place July 8th, 2020, the first time, sponsored by the WEF. And it goes like this. This is a quote from Klaus Schwab. A frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack that could bring a complete halt of the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this regard as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack. All right. And then it goes on about it. Okay. And then another quote from the same thing is this guy. His name is Jeremy Jurgen. Okay. And he's a managing partner of the World Economic Forum. So he helps manage all these different sects and basically brings the private and public sector together. And tries to manage the outcome and make sure everybody's on the same page. And he states, I believe that there will be another crisis. It will be more significant. It will be faster than what we saw with COVID. The impact will be greater if something goes down. And as a result, the economic and social implications will be even more significant than COVID-19. To me personally, and this is all speculation, but since this is being a recent thing and we know that there's a few movies that actually came out with the whole theme of a cyber attack. Okay. Like everybody pretty much either heard of or saw the latest one on Netflix that was, produced by Obama's company.
Yeah, leave the world behind.
Leave the World Behind. And fun fact, Obama is a World Economic Forum member.
Of course.
And yeah. And it's crazy because you guys gotta realize how many people are actually involved. Like Gavin Newsom, World Economic Forum member. Okay, he also graduated like Ivanka Trump from the Young Global Leaders. Okay, which is basically a schooling from the World Economic Forum to shape these people from the ages like 20 to 35 or 40, to basically rule the world or w rule whatever part of society that they're in. So it's just wild. But you got Gavin Newsom. You have DeSantis from Florida. You have
Trudeau.
Trudeau. Trudeau. And it's funny
Justin
because
Trudeau.
the world, in the World Economic Forum, literally Klaus Schwab bragged about how Justin Trudeau came from Young Global Leaders, right? And that half of his cabinet were World Economic Forum members. He said that they infiltrated them.
But see,
Like, straight out said it.
and what gets me is this is what recently happened with the World Economic Forum that caught my eye from where, more in my lane kind of stuff. I've heard, like you said, since the last 4 years or so, World Economic Forum, Great Reset, Klaus Schwab. And if you listen to Isaac Weishaupt, he used to do a whole lot of stuff about the Great Reset and Klaus Schwab and stuff, and on a tinfoil hat, something like that, on that podcast. But then, I hear all this transhumanism and all this techie stuff. But a week or two ago, they bring out onto the stage, the main stage, this witch doctor. Now, these people are all atheists, right? So, but they bring out this witch, and I got yelled at on Instagram for calling her a witch, but that's what she professes to be. This is an Amazonian chiefess of the Yawanawe tribe. Her name is
Yeah, she's basically a
Putani.
shaman.
Yeah, she's a shaman. Her name is Putani Yawanawe, and she does this shamanic rite on stage to the people that were sitting there on the board. And she's like blowing a spirit or whatever onto their forehead while she's doing this ritual and her hand gestures and the whole thing. And how America is, the right received it as immediately, this is pagan, this is devil worship, this is some kind of demonic ceremony. And the left was like, oh, look how pretty and inclusive this is. Meanwhile, beside this Amazonian lady, there's this real tall woman dressed in black that just stands there almost like her handler. She's got this big, crazy looking, weird necklace on, and she just stands there with this weird look on her face. Could not find any information on who this woman was at all. I was kind of hoping it would be related to Abramovich, but I couldn't see anything about it. But yeah, so they do this really, I guess the world would look at it as like a primitive ritual, very spiritual ritual, right in the middle of all this. And when I looked at the theme for the year, the systemic response is needed. Are they showing you that, one more layer? Are they showing you what they have to do here? Are that they're in alignment with this, what I looked at also as a demonic ritualistic kind of thing? Like, how can these people claim to be atheistic and then allow this kind of ceremony to take place and partake in it? Like, what are your all thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think that, although they well, at least Noah, evil Noah Harari claims to be an atheist. I think that there's a whole lot more going on behind the scenes. I think that's up front. There, like I said, there's a lot of ties to Klaus Schwab and the Nazis. And if you look into the ideology of the Nazis, it's totally 110% occultic. It's a very, very spiritual ideology. And that ties right into Helena Blavatsky, and I'm sure John can expound on that and the beliefs of the Aryans, who the Aryans were, all that stuff. But again, Klaus Schwab, just like the Nazis, and I got to dig deeper into Klaus Schwab and where he came from, what he was a part of before this whole World Economic Forum thing came up. That way, you can calculate what he's actually trying to do. He's trying to run the world. He's trying to rule the world like the Third Reich. But again, behind that is this very, very spiritual ideology.
I
I
got you.
saw the witch thing, bro. I saw that, and that was wild. That was wild, man. And Abramovich is a World Economic Forum agenda contributor. Yeah, and she's like the most influential cultist of the day right now.
Oh, yeah, man.
And she, I don't know if you heard about this, but she literally was like tasked or assigned to go and like reestablish all these schools in Ukraine.
Yes, an ambassador for the Ukraine.
Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
And I don't remember her brother's name, but I did a show with Billy from the Infinite Fringe. And if my research partner S90 found this out about that her brother is like this major like new age futurist, like white hat truther going around like discussing like the opposite that like Marina Abramovic talks about, but
He's
like
like the other side, basically.
never
He's the
mentions
white
her at
hat.
all. You know, it's like and there was this guy, I guess one last thing. He was running, he studied under Marina Abramovic. He was like pupil of hers. And his name was Sebastian. I'm gonna butcher his last name. It's like Binyat. And he did a kind of like a spin-off of the QAnon operation called Sabmiok, about white hats, and it was kind of like its own religion, and it had like this Queen Archimedes and like, you know, the Great Awakening is coming, and he started his own cryptocurrency coin and everything. So again, like, you know, great reset into the Great Awakening, you know. I mean, no one, you know, everybody's heard of Marina Abramovic at this point, but I wish I knew his first name, but no one's known about her brother. You can go listen to the interviews the Serbian interviews that her brother did, and he sounds like a Q-tard. Straight up, you know, but never mentions her at all, period.
That is interesting. I didn't know that she even had a brother, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But people are probably wondering, like, how the heck does this tie into biblical prophecy or the Bible at all? And we could go super in depth, but it would take a whole nother episode. So I basically just kind of give this brief, I'll do my best to give a brief breakdown of how I believe it ties in. So the World Economic Forum has their hands in every sector of society. From technology, you know, digital technology, the leader of the IMF, World Bank, and all this stuff, they're all part of the World Economic Forum, okay? And we know that in the end times, they're gonna have a one world currency, a one world government, and a one world religion. Now, debated is what that one world religion will be. You know, will it be a conglomerate of, you know, just basically ecumenism, and we all worship the same God, and you know, the Antichrist claims to be this God that, you know, where everybody's worshiping, that type of thing. Or will it be something else? Okay, it's kind of debated on what that part will look like. But the Bible doesn't tell us how all this stuff actually comes about. You know, it doesn't tell you exactly how we end up with a one world currency, how we end up with a one world government. It doesn't give you the exact details on how that goes down. And the way that I see it is that the World Economic Forum is the mechanics. They are the mechanics. They are the ones that are making the moves for all this to get to come into place, whether they know it or not. You know, like, it's biblical prophecy either way, but the World Economic Forum is so heavy into digital currency, and they admit they want a one world government. They want a one world currency. Now, the religion part is kind of the iffy spot, but as you notice, they had the Pope there. They had this witch there. They're starting to implement that religious side of things. Okay, they're trying to place their pawns in the right spots, I believe. But not only that, but like we know that according to Deuteronomy, there are rebellious angels over the nations, over all the nations of the world. And we know that Satan is the god of this world right now.
Right.
Okay. And I think he's running the show, but obviously there's more than just him. There are more gods. Lowercase g gods
Right.
doing their thing. And that's why I think that you also see a bit of conflict within all this stuff as well. You know, again, they might all have the same goals. They don't go about it all the same way
Right. So we're
sometimes,
seeing
right?
some infighting with the principalities and powers, right?
Yes. But at the end of the day, you see like in the very top places of society that actually run the show, like these guys are all together. You know what I mean? They're all World Economic Forum leaders and agenda contributors. So I really think, and we know that there is a huge push right now for the digital currency in the United States. I think China already has theirs. Another country, I think maybe it was India, already has theirs. We're getting there, man. We're getting there. And somehow this one world currency is going to come together. And I don't think that it's going to happen by the United States and the Federal Reserve themselves. I don't think it's going to be like how the American dollar is like, you know, the currency of the world. You
Thank
know, it's not
you.
going to be like that.
Thank you, Jeremy, for saying that, because the Federal Reserve is the current world order's petrodollar, right? Is the current reserve currency for
Right.
the entire world order. It will be replaced by what they're calling through the quantum financial reset. If you're looking at it from a theosophical standpoint, the Saint Germain Trust, it's going to re like the it's going to the old world banking system is going to fail. And the new world, at least what they're saying, now I don't know if this has come to fruition or not, and you have the debtclot.org website that's run by the Durst billionaire family, and they're putting all this esotericism, like you have the debt clock, which is like normal statistics of how much debt the United States is in, but they have this secret thing where you can press and it'll show you exactly what I'm talking about, and they're putting it forth together and others, that the new world order currency system will be whatever. It'll be a commodity backed based, but it'll be, you know, as long as you take the mark, if you're looking at it from a biblical perspective, you'll be given infinite amount of money. Whatever your little heart desires, whatever sin you want to do, you can afford it. And they're literally telling people to make intention binders so that when they're
Get you in
given
advance.
billions or millions of dollars, they can fulfill their intentions.
Wow.
And at the same time, they also have that, like I said, Yuval Noah Harari said, like, what happens when you're disconnected from the system? Like, you wouldn't even be able to survive once they go that far with the merging of man and machine, right? So, like, you step out of line, if you even can, even if you even can, you know, say you get this deep into it, you ended up taking the mark. Like, there's no getting out of it. But I'm just saying, like, they can hit the off switch whenever they want. If somebody else tries to rise to power, all they got to do is hit the off switch, disconnect you from the network, and you're done. And I think that the whole transhumanism agenda is part of the you know, where Revelation says that they will seek death and they will not find it. That's because they're trying to live forever. They're doing their best, man, and it's. There is like there's way more to this, bro. There's so much, like I said, there's multiple different layers. We could next time, you know, sometime if you're down again, we can get into the Internet of Things and what that's all about and how they're trying to make these 15-minute cities where everything, literally everything, is in 15-minute walking distance or biking distance, and it's all connected to the internet. You're
And Trump's
connected
making
to,
them, right? Trump's
yeah,
making
Trump's
them.
helping to build
And he's
those.
literally saying there's got to be a contest for people to send in their designs, okay? And they'll be able to get some sort of position in making these things come true. And he's calling them freedom cities. That's
And
right,
he's
freedom
starting
cities.
in New Mexico. Well, he already started, but he proposed like $20 million for this to happen in New Mexico on the outskirts of Albuquerque because of the homeless population. You know they're going to take the lowest people of society and throw them into something like that first. So,
Man.
any thoughts, boys?
This has been great, man. I don't want to, I want people to live in fear or anything, but people need to be
Right.
very aware of the intention and what they're surrounded by in this world, you know. I guess that's all the more reason to seek Christ.
Yeah, man, that's one thing I always tell everybody is look, like this isn't for every, I think everybody should know about it, but I know that it's not for everybody to dive deep, you know, head first into. Like, that's just something I'm called to do, is
Amen.
I dive deep into the occult and expose them too. You know what I mean? Like I like this, is fascinating to me. And personally, you know, looking inside all this darkness just makes the light of God shine so much brighter in my life, and it makes the Bible so much more alive. You know, it's kind of profound. And I know other people have different callings, you know, but it's, even if you do, you don't just bury your head in the sand, you know?
Right. Yeah, I love what you're doing. I think this is a work that needs to be done. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I do want to at some point, I do want to be able to like break this all down comprehensively, and because I've never seen anybody do it, but I want to break down, like, to a fine point, the mechanics of how all of this relates to biblical prophecy. Like, I just kind of gave like an overview, and I can see it from that perspective. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
how we're going to get a one world currency and one world governance. I definitely going through the World Economic Forum, but I want to break it down so that people can digest it easily. I just gotta find the time, bro. Just gotta find the time.
That's
Yeah.
it.
You know, I guess I'll say in closing is you're right, Bo, is you know, for us born again believers, our hope is Jesus Christ. We
Right.
have hope. The rest of the world, the unbelieving world, does not. Which is why if we are living in the end in times, in the end of days, which I believe that, you know, we will be. I believe the tribulation is coming soon. If that is the case, then, and even if it's not, you know, we are called by Jesus Christ to go out and to preach the gospel and to baptize, you know, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to everyone, you know. And so if the time is very, very short and we're 1 minute to midnight, we need to make sure that we're doing it as much as possible.
Amen.
Because that is the only hope we have, and that is the only thing that saves, is the
Amen.
gospel and the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know,
Amen.
so, and you know, no matter what, God will be with us. You know, and through our trials and tribulations, no matter how tough and how much we have to endure, we should praise Him.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. And at the end of the day, to live is Christ and to die is gain, right?
Amen.
So,
Amen.
resist.
I don't know if it, you, I think you are, John, but I don't know if you are, Bo. Are you familiar with the documentary Age of Deceit, Fallen Angels of the New World Order?
I've watched so many. I don't know, maybe.
All right. Well, back in like 2012, you know, I watched that documentary while I was seeking truth. I went down so many different paths, and I've said this 100 times, but that documentary pretty much laid out, you know, the New World Order, Alice Bailey's work. It exposed the New Age agenda, the alien deception, all this different stuff, but from a biblical point of view. And I had never, ever seen it from a biblical point of view until that time. And it made the most sense, I guess. And it was
What's
hitting me
going
hard while I was watching it. But at the very end of it preached the gospel. So I know that as long as you're preaching the gospel, even if you're doing work like we do, right? And you're exposing all these deep, dark things, it can lead people to Christ. I mean, only the gospel will save you. That's why it needs to be included. But a lot of people try to avoid these subjects because it's too dark for them.
right.
But there's a lot of people like us who are hungry and thirsty and know that this world is upside down. They know something is wrong with this world. They just haven't found the truth yet. They haven't found Christ. You know? And so when we expose this stuff and we do it from a biblical perspective and we incorporate the gospel, I know that it will bring those who need to hear it, you know, out of the darkness and into his light, just like it did me, you know.
That's right. Absolutely. That's wonderful. That's a good ministry, man.
Amen.
Well, man, do you have any closing thoughts, brother?
Me? No, I'm just I'm taking it all in. I've been taking notes the whole time we're sitting here talking. Just stay awake, stay aware. For those of you on your end that are listening to me, I would invite everybody to come check out the Bump Podcast. I'm on all podcast platforms, all social media platforms. I don't usually sound quite this nasally. I have a sinus infection and bronchitis, so I sound like a wimp right now. But
Keep bowing your prayers. Boys are still
it's
deep in the mind, brother.
spiritual warfare is very real, guys. And I get my butt handed to me with little stomach bugs and viruses. It seems like every time I turn around, but spiritual warfare is real. But yeah, come check out the show. And for my listeners, I would like for you guys to say where you're at, what you're into. I heard you say you had some Substacks too, John. So I'd love for you all to just plug away on everything you have too.
You want to go first, Jeremy?
So you can find By Their Fruits on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere that you find or listen to podcasts, all platforms except YouTube. And I always say, because we'll never make it more than a
We're not
one,
allowed
you know,
there.
one upload. Yeah, we're not allowed there. We
I've
haven't even
lost two
started it.
YouTube channels, so I mean, it is what it is. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've had one
And
show canceled.
from Spotify or YouTube?
YouTube.
Oh, okay. Spotify's great, man. I was going to say, YouTube definitely is going to kick you off eventually, but
Oh, yeah.
yeah, Spotify's been pretty good to us. But yeah, if you want to find me personally, you can just find me on Facebook, Jeremy Stone. And that's pretty much all I got. I mean, I got a TikTok that I don't even know how to use, and that's about it. So, John, where can people find you, buddy?
His TikToks are interesting. He'll get better at it. I know he will. You can find me, of course, By Their Fruits with Jeremy Stone, obviously. I have my own Substack. We've read the documents. Odyssey Channel, we've read the documents. Patreon, we've read the documents. We've underscore read on Twitter. I should probably make a By Their Fruits Twitter account as well too, thinking out on the top of my head. It's just the trouble we live in. Just lean in, rely on God as much as you possibly can, because things are going to get worse before they get really good, which is when Jesus Christ returns. So,
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Bo. Thanks for coming on.
yes.
Thanks for having us.
Hey.
We love you, man. It's good to catch up, and hopefully we can, I don't know, every once in a while, because I know it's heavy, but maybe every once in a while we can do a little series and get into some of the other layers of this deception that's coming our way.
Just holler at me, man. I'll do some homework.
Thank you for listening to By Their Fruits. May the Lord bless the giver, the gift, and the receiver.